Welcome back, everyone, to MX Asian American. Today we have Andrea. You want to introduce yourself first to the listeners?
Yeah, sure. Thanks so much for having me. My name is Andrea Xu. I'm one of the co-founders and CEO of Umami Cart, which is an online Asian grocery company delivering thousands of Asian food products to customer stores.
Awesome. Thank you so much for coming on the show today. I always like to start way back when. So could you tell us a little bit about how and where you grew up?
So I was actually born in Spain. I'm Spanish Chinese. My parents immigrated in their early 20s to Spain from China. And so growing up for me, food was definitely the love language in our household. And it was also the way that my parents shared their culture with me. It was also just a huge way to kind of like bond with my siblings and my family because everywhere else, we were sort of the only Asian people in the room, and I was the only Asian kid growing up in school other than my siblings. And I don't know, the food was so special for us to sort of like bond over how awesome our culture is. And my parents were restaurateurs. They started in the restaurant business. Food was just so important in our household, and yeah, that kind of influenced a lot of what I do now.
I love how you had such a huge emphasis on food while you were growing up. And like similar to me, I grew up in my parents' Chinese restaurant.
Oh, awesome.
But I don't know. I feel like as like an Asian person in Spain, is it the like same amount of difficulty just like trying to find other Chinese restaurants, or was there like sort of an enclave there of like a Chinese community as well?
Yeah, it's a much smaller community compared to the US, for sure. I mean, we still had our community and like our uncles and aunties and friends, but it would be more sparsed out. So maybe in the same town, we might be like the only Asian family, the only Asian restaurant. But we certainly had our community. It was just kind of like harder to get together and whatnot. But yeah, in terms of like Chinese food, it would be pretty hard for us to find like traditional Chinese food.
Okay, I see. So I don't hear a European accent from you. I'm assuming you had moved to America at some point in your early life.
Yeah, I feel so flattered when people say that because I used to have a super thick accent. Yeah, I moved here for college. I was recently telling the story on a panel, but growing up in Spain, like being the only Asian person in the room was something that I guess bothered me a lot, but I never really realized because that was just kind of the way life was. But I went to a summer school in China that my parents sent me to, and it was sort of for kids that have Chinese ethnicity, but grew up elsewhere. And I met a ton of Asian American friends, and the way they talked about like their schools and like their friends, it made me just like open my eyes to diversity. And it was honestly just like the first time that I realized like you can be in a school with like people from so many different cultures and everyone's kind of interested in learning about different ways of seeing the world and whatnot. And that fascinated me. So I had this obsession that I really wanted to come to the US for college. And so I somehow applied my way and got into NYU. So I've been here for over 10 years now. And I feel very much Asian American in many ways because I've been here for such formative years and for like over a third of my life now. But yeah, I think that's why.
Wow, it's kind of amazing that you sort of like I don't know, discovered quote unquote diversity when you went to China for for a summer camp.
Yeah, it's really like a complex turn of events because I got home and I spoke way better English after that summer camp and like not that much more Mandarin.
My gosh. So you do decide you go to NYU. When you were applying or like I guess your first year, did you have any idea of like what you wanted to major in or like what you wanted to pursue?
I was in a liberal studies program, and for me, the threat of like learning about different cultures and just like broadening my horizons and like learning about other places in the world was the commonality that always interested me. So I majored in international relations. I grew up in a family of entrepreneurs, so always really interested in business as well. So I did business as well. And those were the two.
What was like, did you have any other business pursuits before Umami Cart, or like you're doing this
Not
after
on my
college?
own. Yeah, I was doing this. So not on my own, I would say. I always grew up working with my parents on our family businesses. And so just kind of like being part of a growing business and operating and whatnot was always part of how I lived. So I've always been very familiar with that and also just very interested in it. But after college, I actually took a job in finance and I worked at Goldman Sachs for about 5 years. And yeah, I was doing sort of like deals across country deals on like infrastructure and things like that that I found super interesting and really allowed me to like get really good training and travel to all these places that I hadn't been to. So that was a really great experience. I think that was like a very important foundational training for what I do now. And then at some point I decided, you know, I think this job is doing, has done a lot for me, but it's not really where I find myself super passionate. I don't know if it's for me for the long term. And so I wanted to make a change. And I went to business school, to MIT, and I really went in with the mindset of, if I really, you know, like find a problem where I do feel passionate about, I want to start something on my own. And I want to kind of tap back into that entrepreneurial spirit that had always been part of me. And after business school, I had the opportunity to start Umami Cart. So that's kind of where it all started.
Wow, that's amazing. I know you like touched a little bit about like, you felt like you didn't see yourself doing this in the future at Goldman Sachs. But I don't know. I know like a lot of people will look at it as like their end goal in life to work there. And also, I've heard so many stories about how exploitative the finance industry is. So I was wondering, like, your experiences, especially, like, as an Asian woman in that field, and, like, how you kind of handled the long hours, the rigor, et cetera.
Yeah, for sure. They definitely do work you hard, that's for sure. And, yeah, it's a very competitive place, I think. You know, I'm a daughter of immigrants, and also like that combination of immigrant entrepreneurs, like you really just grow up working your whole life. And like you see your parents sacrifice so much that it puts kind of like a different lens on work, sometimes almost to like an unhealthy point where like hard work and sacrifice is just so revered and like, you know, put on a pedestal. And so I think for me, it was like so easy to match the finance energy because of that, which I don't think is really like a good thing, because it can really take you away from that feeling of, or like it, your ability to tap into whether you are enjoying the work that you're doing, whether that's like something enriching for you personally or not, because you're just so in the, you know, in the weeds of like the pursuit of working harder and harder. But I think in many ways, like, and also at a much younger age, I just loved the intensity that of the environment. I loved how much I was able to learn. Everybody in the room was very, very smart, very talented, very driven. And I think that like was so enriching for me. But it wasn't really sustainable, I would say that. And I don't think I would be able to do it now that I kind of like know myself better. I'm more tuned into like what interests me, what I care about. I think now it would be much harder for me to just kind of like overlook everything and be like, I'm just going to work hard for the sake of it. And I'm going to like grind because that's what you're supposed to do here. But all in all, I think it was like an incredible training. And I look back now and I think, yeah, just like a lot of the rigor that you learn really follows everything else that you do.
Yeah. Like so many people I've talked to have like their stories have kind of, I don't know how to describe it, but basically like every single job they've had basically has helped them get to the next one, or like to the like business that they eventually do start. And like every single thing they've learned along the way have like built up to help with the foundation of that.
Yeah.
So then you go to a business school, and do you remember when like your first inspiration was for Umami Cart?
Yeah, I went to business school. I was exploring entrepreneurship in general. I really was just giving myself time to learn about different industries. And I got the opportunity to work with a VC fund that was working with aspiring entrepreneurs to kind of like back them and help them fund their idea. And I thought that was like exactly what I was looking for. I didn't have experience building a startup before, and I thought that would be such a good program for me. So I connected with this VC firm and just continued working with them. And just in thinking, and they have a really interesting process where they kind of ask founders to go out there and just find markets that you're interested in, do the research, like come back with the numbers, come back with hypotheses and like with the potential problem that you can solve and like a potential business plan. And the entire team kind of engages on their thoughts around it, other companies they've seen in the space, what can you learn from like similar companies and whatnot, and like really try to craft whether there's a business model there or not. And for me, when I started doing that exercise, it just like took me all the way back kind of. And I realized like, this is a big passion of mine. It's also been a personal pain point of mine, even at NYU. I think for myself and my friends, it was always still hard to find Asian groceries. Like we loved going to Chinatown, but when we couldn't, we were kind of just stuck with substitutes. And it's kind of crazy that when I started looking into the numbers, it was such a huge market in the US with customers complaining about the same things of like not being able to access these products in a way that they like, in a way that's convenient and with a good customer experience. So yeah, I think it was a pleasant surprise when out of kind of like my personal pain point, I started digging into it and there was a huge market opportunity. And that's where everyone else in the room also got excited and started learning about Asian groceries as well, because a lot of the people in the room had never even thought about this problem before.
Yeah. Like a lot of entrepreneurs I talk to, they see a problem themselves and like, wow, nobody else has ever solved it before. So now they're like, okay, let me try to do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you have the name for Umami Cart like in the beginning, or like how did you come up with a name?
I came up with it from the very beginning. Like I came up with a list of, you know, I think Umami Cart was started in a pretty scrappy way. Like we didn't spend a ton of money in the beginning, and I just came up with a list of names that I liked. I pulled some of my friends and everyone like unanimously loved Umami Cart. I think at the very beginning of Umami Cart, I talked to someone who I will not name that just hated our name so much that he like took a call with me where I wanted to ask for some advice for starting Umami Cart. And 20 minutes out of the 30 minutes of the call, he just like told me how terrible of a name that was and like how he disliked it. And that's the only person that's ever said that. Everyone else has told us that they love the name.
Wow. You always got haters out there. So since launching, were there have there been any like difficulties or like rewarding moments?
Yeah. There's so many ups and downs with starting a company that's fast growing. Mm-hmm. Especially in our category, we, you know, it's a very complex model. We have operations that are in person that we have to run with our distribution center. We have different temperatures of food because we have frozen food, refrigerated food, dry foods, and mm-hmm. we have the logistics of it all of having to pack a perfect box for a customer, send it out to them, have the products arrive in top quality. And that's not even accounting for kind of the digital experience, like building a site, servicing a site that works for customers well, coming up with content that is inspiring to them to use our product and whatnot. So it's a very complex type of business for sure. And with that comes, especially when you're learning about everything, comes just, you know, mistakes along the way, bumps along the way. We've had times in the beginning where we literally ran out of cardboard boxes and like we had to go back to customers and say, hey, we can't ship out your product because we're not going to tell you the reason because it's too embarrassing almost. But in the very beginning, we would just be really honest and say, like, we're a small company, we're just starting off and we ran out of boxes, so it's going to have to be next week. Luckily, that didn't happen a lot, but there's been a lot of moments like that that we now look back and, you know, we look back fondly because we were really just hustling to give the best customer experience possible. And we would do like all kinds of like anything really, anything we could to get that order out the door. But in the moment when you're living it, it's like terrifying when we're like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do with these like hundreds of boxes we can't send out? Yeah, we've had so many different instances like that. So I think all of that comes with building a business. And then I would say like the highlights are always like hearing from our customers. When we get customer tickets telling us about their experience using Umami Kari, like how long they had been without eating Asian food because the nearest store is like 2-hour drive from them and it's so inconvenient. And or families that are cooking like Asian meals for the first time for their kids because they're not Asian, but really committed to giving their kids at home like a very diverse set of foods and whatnot. I think all of those are just like, they make you feel really warm and nice. And it's really the reason why we started doing this.
Yeah, it's from what I'm hearing, lots of moving parts all at the same time. I'm assuming that you did not start this by yourself. Did you have some help in the beginning, or is it just you?
No, yeah, I had two co-founders from the very beginning, who are still my co-founders. And luckily, you know, I think that was key. I think both because of the sheer amount of work, but also because of all the moving parts, the ups and downs, I think it's been really awesome to have a team, you know, built in of three co-founders that we can always discuss with each other what to do next and how to solve something.
So you've been named Forbes 30 Under 30 in 2021. And of course, that's an awesome achievement. And also, you've recently become a mother. Could you tell us a bit about how you're balancing motherhood with this like business as well?
Yeah. I mean, I think the reality is just it's really, really hard. And I don't think I'm necessarily doing like an incredible job of balancing it. And I have like all the tips for anyone listening to this or anything like that. But I think just like so many other working moms, I try my best to prioritize what's at hand. And of course, my baby is the most important thing to me. So I try my best to fit everything that I can. And I think it just ends up resulting in a lot of personal sacrifice. And I think that's honestly the reality of it. And for me personally, I love it when people share kind of like their tips on how to balance it better and whatnot. But I just also, I guess for me personally, I really want to share that sometimes it's just plain and difficult, and that's kind of it, because sometimes that's just how it is. And I don't want anybody to think like, oh my gosh, she's balancing all of this. And like, if you just wake up at 5 and meditate for 15 minutes, you got it. And it's just not how it works for me, at least. I think like growing up, for example, my parents worked so much and they sacrificed a lot of family time. And I saw that. And I mean, I didn't really get to spend like tons of time with them. They work kind of 24/7, 365 days a year. So I really wanted to do it a little bit different. I'm still figuring it out. Umami Kari is also kind of like a growing baby too. So it needs a lot of attention as well. But I have a strong team. We try to be very transparent with each other about what's important for us on our personal front. And we try to just kind of like help each other out and make sure that everything that's important gets done and that we're making progress while still prioritizing what's personally important to us. But it's really hard.
No, I love that. Well, first of all, of what you said of growing up with parents who are busy, like same here, like my parents were largely absent from my childhood because they were working all the time. Mm-hmm. And I love how you wanted to kind of change that narrative for the next generation. And also like how you discuss with your team members, like what is your priority, even in your personal life, so that everybody's like supportive with your schedule or whatnot, or like the priorities of the company versus like personal priorities. So I love that.
Thank you.
Do you have any like future visions or any plans for Umami Kart?
We're focused on growing as much as we can. We currently have already expanded our catalog a ton, and we are just really focused on getting more people to try our selection of fresh products. I think a lot of our customers love all of our fruits and vegetables, but not all the customers that have ever tried Umami Kart have tried them. Because some people navigate to like go to snacks and things like that. So we're really focused on like having everyone try kind of like the breadth of Asian cuisine, creating more engaging content for our followers, and just kind of continuing to grow the brand and our product offering.
Yeah, I mean, I love all my Asian snacks and stuff, but I think like what's different about, I mean, I'm not trying to point out competition here, but like what's different about Umami Cart versus like some other Asian grocery e-commerce brands is that like you guys actually carry like fresh products, like vegetables, fruits, and even like meats, which is amazing, as you've like alluded to before, the shipping and everything like that, and the storage, lots of operation things to think about.
Yeah, totally. We hear that a lot from customers. They like really appreciate that part, because it's kind of like the basis of the cooking. So yeah, we'll definitely continue to do that.
Well, awesome. That's it for this show today, but thank you so much for coming on the show. Where can listeners find you and go on Umami Cart?
Yeah, so the best way to shop is downloading our app on App Store or Google Play. But you can also visit our website at umamicart.com. The app is just Umami Cart. And you can follow us on TikTok or Instagram, and it's just at Umami Cart if you want any cool recipes and just hear about our latest products.
Awesome. And I'll link everything in the show notes as well. Thank you so much again, Andrea.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.